Did you know the most effective way to overcome a phobia is by gradually and repeatedly exposing yourself to what you fear in a safe and controlled way? Huh. I actually found that from an article on phobias and irrational fears off helpguide.org. In this episode, I have two topics for you: irrational fears and fear versus phobia. Now, this episode could bring up the thoughts of fears and phobias, but like your own thoughts. But this episode is not to make you afraid or anything, because we're just talking about it. There should be no fear in it. I'm not making you imagine anything. I just thought about talking openly about my own irrational fears and phobias. Let's get into it. So, topic number one: irrational fears and irrational solutions to those fears. Whenever I had a bad dream or a nightmare, I thought having a ton of stuffed animals around my head would help me sleep better because they would protect me. You could say I watched Toy Story a whole lot, way too much, and because the stuffed animals would surround my head as I slept, I just knew that they would come to life to fight off anything that dared to bother me. Yeah, that was real. I legit believed that my stuffed animals were protecting me whenever I had a nightmare or whenever I had a bad dream. I believed it, and so far, no one has proven to me that it didn't actually happen. One, because I was sleeping, and two, there is no way you can prove that because you weren't there with me, okay? So it made me feel better whenever I woke up every day and I was just kind of like, I'm saved, I'm good, you know? And I had some pretty interesting stuffed animals. There wasn't like a theme or a method. I had a lot of different ones. There was this one I called Jack, and there was this tall, no, it wasn't even that tall. It looked like a big mouse. It had big ears, and it was gray, and it had a red jacket, or a red vest, I think. And his name was Jack, and he was my favorite. Like, I loved him. I don't know why. I just did. Maybe some suppressed memory or whatever, but I don't even know who gave that to me. Whatever. I had a Simba with his mane. I had a Mickey. I had Barney. I had so many. I had an elephant, like one that was like kind of just like it was meant to lay on top of a pillow, because it just kind of like looked like it was flying, like it was Dumbo, and put his arms and legs out. And I had all these different stuffed animals, and I honestly believed that they protected me through the night. And they really did. Another irrational fear I sometimes it's a little bit of have right now, is if I stuck my foot out of the covers because it was too hot, but would a monster come and yank it? I mean, no, obviously that's not going to happen. The solution for me, I figured, was if I had a clean foot, then monsters wouldn't bother me because they're gross and they only like gross things. So if I didn't have a gross foot or gross feet, I was fine. So I just knew they wouldn't touch my feet if they were clean. So I'd clean my feet before bed. And sometimes I would keep my socks on because I didn't think they like socks, you know? And which was really funny, because when Monsters, Inc. finally came out and we all saw the scene, 2319, white sock. The monster had a white sock on him, and he almost died because of it, because it was a human object. So I figured if I had on my socks, if I kept on my socks and I kept my feet clean, monsters would not bother me. And then again, because Monsters, Inc. came out, I was like, of course they're not under the bed. That doesn't make any sense. There's not a whole lot of room under there. Also, I did have a lot of things under my bed, like, you know, bins of toys and books and whatever. But I was like, duh, of course they would come out of the closet, because the closet is a gateway. It all makes sense. The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Oh my goodness. Mind blown. Anyway, back to what I was saying. So irrational fears, and irrational solutions to those fears. And so, you know, I know that some irrational fears are rooted in, like, from the TV. TV provides these irrational fears. Like, for example, the fear of snakes. Now, I know for a fact that there are no snakes living in Brooklyn. I know that. I've never seen one. And if you've ever seen one, don't you dare tell me, because I like to live in my bubble that says snakes do not live in Brooklyn or any of the boroughs of New York City. Unless someone has a snake as a pet, that's their own personal preference. Good for you. But I'm saying that I have a fear. I had a fear. Well, a rational fear of snakes. I cannot pronounce the phobia for this, for the fear of snakes, so I'm not gonna. But it's popular. And so, like, I think it has a lot to do with the whole story of the Garden of Eden and the whole thing about the serpent and everything like that. Like, I'm afraid of snakes. Like, I am. They can wrap up around you, okay? Like, even the little tiny ones, you don't know. You don't know, okay? You never know. And so, yeah, I have a fear of snakes, and I know that it's irrational because of where I live, but still. And then, like, the fear of heights, which is funny because it's called acrophobia. That's pretty easy to pronounce. It's pretty funny because I love roller coasters. Well, I used to. I don't love them as much anymore because I get a headache every time I go. But I do. Oh my goodness, roller coasters are amazing. Especially the ones at Six Flags. The Nitro. The El Toro. Oh man, I want to go back to an amusement park for real. Anyway, yeah, I have a fear of heights. And I still love roller coasters. I just won't go on them anymore. But yeah, man. Whew. Roller coasters. Love them. Then there's a fear of crowded spaces. I mean, no, I don't have that. I don't have that fear. I get it, though. I don't like when Times Square is crowded. That's just because I'm, like, walking through. I'm not afraid of it. I just don't like it. I just don't like it at all. But yeah, there's a few other ones that are pretty interesting. People have a fear of dogs. They have a fear of germs. They have a fear. Oh, that one, the fear of holes. Like, ooh, it's not exactly a fear of mine. It just gives me the willies. Like, it just looks weird. it looks so weird. Fear of public speaking. Like, again, these things are irrational because it's just kind of like you're not gonna have to do these things all the time. They're not something that. Or deal with these things all the time. It's not something that you just, all right, today, tomorrow, the next day, the next day, the next day. No, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen to you. All right? So some of these solutions, so like, you know, some if you expose yourself repeatedly and gradually in a safe and controlled way, I don't know how you can safely be not afraid of heights. Like, I don't understand that. How would you deal with that? That is, I don't know, experience, no, because there's different levels of heights, like, no, like, I don't think that would work, or, public speaking, like, I wasn't afraid of public speaking, but I do think that when I got that first class, one of my first college classes was speech, and it did help me to talk better, you know, out loud and be more confident in the way that I talk. I just, I felt like that was the best way to do it. It wasn't gradually and repeatedly. Like, we had 3 speeches, and each time there was plenty of space in between, but it was a class. Like, you had to do it, you know? And it wasn't as though, like, I chose to take speech, because I definitely did not. I did not choose to take speech, but they were just like, well, you need to take this class because it's a good class to take. And I was just kind of like, okay, as my elective classes. Anyway, so, yeah, I don't know about that whole thing. But yeah, some irrational fears are just kind of just that. Irrational, and don't feel bad about it. There's nothing that says you need to never fear these things again. You do you, boo. Okay, like, work it out on your own time. Work it out on your own. And I have worked out my irrational fears. Like, of spiders and snakes, that's still gonna be a thing, especially since snakes are, I'm not so much exposed to snakes. Like, I'm really grateful for my camp experience because it helped with the spider thing. Like, I'm not afraid of daddy long legs or things like that. Like, I'm cool now. But let me tell you, if it's one of them little ones that like to run fast, woo wee, I will feel it in a heartbeat. I will feel it in a heartbeat. Literally, my heart will start beating. I'm just like, ah! Or just like jump scares. Like, ooh, give you a little jolt. All right, I'm gonna take a quick break and then I'll come back with the next topic. Welcome back from the break. So in this next and final topic, it's fears versus phobias. And so what is a phobia? I mean, everybody has a fear or two of something, you know? Someone is always afraid of something. There's no one on this earth that is not afraid of at least one or two things. And what's a phobia? A phobia is an intense fear. So it's a fear times 10, basically, of something that in reality poses little or no actual danger. And, you know, like I said before, the most common phobias that people have is, you know, being in closed spaces, heights, like insects, spiders, snakes, needles, possibly highway driving. Like, it's just an intense fear of something that really doesn't pose too much of a threat to your life. Like, there's no way that you're always going to a area that will constantly put you in a state of being afraid, you know what I mean? So, like, I can say like a fear of heights is common, but not taking a job because it's on the 8th floor of an office building is a phobia. That's what that is. Phobia, you're in a state of avoidance. And there are so many. Ones that make you even make sense, in my opinion. Ones that don't even make sense, in my opinion. And they can start off in childhood and later grow up and develop in adults. And that's what I was saying before, is like, you know, the whole fear of me not wearing a blanket or whatever, that's a real fear of mine, because I just think that my blanket is protecting me in a way. I'm not sleeping with my stuffed animals anymore, but I still sleep with a blanket on because I just feel more comfortable. And it takes a lot for me to not sleep with a blanket on. The only way that would happen is if I'm like super duper hot, and even still, I'll have like the blanket covering my middle section at least the middle section and my feet. Like, I'll have the blanket covering, but everything else is pretty much out of the blanket. And so, you know, I'm afraid of tarantulas being this way as a child, and it was really because of that movie, Eight-Legged Freaks. Yeah, it was definitely a movie. And I have an irrational fear that they can grow and become large, weird experiments. It's just a thing. I saw it in a movie, and now I'm afraid of them. I'm sorry, I can't help that. I mean, as smaller creatures don't really pose a threat, they just look gross. And of course they look scary. Like, they just look gross and scary. I mean, I'm not afraid of the little house centipedes, but as soon as they start crawling over, I get a little shiver. I get a little shiver, and I'm just like, nope, big nope. And then I have to go off on a killing spree. When I say killing spree, I really just mean running after that one and trying to kill it, because they are so fast. They have so many legs. Oh my goodness. And then, you know, I also don't like cluster holes, like I said before. That is, ooh, giving me the skeebies. I get so freaked out. And so that actually started as I was an adult. Like, I was working at Crate and Barrel, and they have this weird plant that has holes in it. and I don't know why. I think, like, I looked at it weird, and it bugged me out, you know what I mean? Like, it just bugged me out. And so I avoided seeing them any way that I could. I just did not touch them at all. And working in Crate and Barrel, I was in merchandising, so, you know, you have to work with the merchandise, and I wouldn't go over there. Or if it was in a box, I didn't really take them out. I just kind of just made it work. I did my whole Tetris thing and put that box on the shelf. I just didn't know. That was not happening. Also, as an adult, I've gotten more afraid of tight, closed spaces. I don't know when that happened. I think it has a lot to do with the fact that when I was small, I could fit in some really small spaces when I played hide and seek. Like, I was really good at hiding. So good at hiding. And I would just, you know, fit like a little ball, or, you know, compacted myself in these tiny spaces. And I would show people where I hid after the game was over, and just be like, this is where I was hiding. And they're like, what? How did you fit in there? And then they look at me and like, what? How did you fit in there? And then for some reason, like, it just changed. Like, now I can't be in a small place for too long, or I'll freak out a little bit. And I think that I did that to myself. I honestly think that that fear only developed because of me. Like, I wasn't afraid of it before, and then all of a sudden, like, I just kept thinking about it. Like, small space, like, what would I be able to do? Like, what if I couldn't get out? And it just started to freak me out. So now I kind of have claustrophobia. It's an intense fear of that. And I know that I won't be in a small space like that. Well, I hope and pray that I will never be in that space. Knock on wood. You know, I won't be in that kind of position, but still freaks me out. And it could have a lot to do, all these fears could have a lot to do with watching Fear Factor. But still, I mean, things became fear, and now I avoid small spaces. And it's funny, because when I watch Impractical Jokers, Saul Volcano, he has an irrational fear of cats, like, even small ones. And Quinn, like me, doesn't like spiders, which I agree, Quinn. Like, nope. Spiders is a no-go. But I don't understand Saul's fear of cats. I think cats are kind of cute and cuddly, and sometimes they just need their space, you know? They just need their space. Anyway, so let's talk about some normal fears versus the phobias or irrational ones. So, like, for example, feeling anxious when flying through turbulence or taking off during a storm is a normal fear. The phobia would be not going to your best friend's island wedding because you'd have to fly there. I think that that's kind of funny. Like, you don't... Okay. All right. Next is experiencing butterflies when peering down from the top of a skyscraper or climbing a tall ladder. And the phobia to that would be turning down a job. Like I said, turning down a job because it's on the 10th floor or 8th floor of an office building. Like, come on, you're inside. You're indoors. You're gonna be fine. Just don't go by the windows. Like, I don't understand. Next, getting nervous when you see a pit bull or a Rottweiler, which is very unfair because pit bulls and Rottweilers are not scary. They are cute. Some of them are cute. And come on, that's not cool. But a phobia would be steering clear of the park because you might see a dog. So you don't even go to the park because you might see a dog. That's a phobia. Come on now, that's not cool. Like, dogs have a right to be in the park. As so do you, alright? Then there's feeling a little queasy when getting a shot or when your blood is drawn. I understand that. When I was a kid, that was scary. And so, like, my doctor, she would, you know, I don't know what she would do, really. But I think she would do her best to try and talk to me while it was happening. And you know what? The doctor didn't always give the shots. It was always the nurse. The nurse would always give the shots. And she would have like this big smile on her face and be like, it's okay, it's okay. And I'm just looking at it and I'm looking at my arm and I'm like tensing up and everything. Relax, just relax. And I don't know, like after some time I wasn't so afraid anymore. It was just kind of like, okay, I know it's gonna pinch me or prick me or whatever, but I should be all right. I should be all right. Deep breath, prick. Oh, all done. And then they hit you with the good girl. That's good. You're good. Yeah, yeah. Was that so bad? And then I'm just sitting there like, I'm not a dog. Like, you ain't gotta talk to me like that. But I do appreciate it. Like, let me get my lollipop so I can be out, please. And, you know, a really cool Band-Aid that had cartoons on it. I used to love the cartoon Band-Aids, man. Anyway, so a phobia to getting your blood drawn is avoiding necessary medical treatments or doctor checkups because you're terrified of needles. Yeah, those are the differences. And, you know, it's pretty interesting. Like, it's an interesting subject in general, phobias and fears, like social phobias and all these different anxiety things. Like, there are real people that deal with this stuff, and they just have to, because if not then they won't really experience a lot in life. And so, you know, it's hard for these folks. And so, like, you know, some of my best advice for trying to face these phobias is just, you know, self-help type stuff. So it's just, you can do these things on your own, or you can go to therapy. They can both be effective for treating phobias. And, you know, self-help is definitely worth trying. Like, you don't have to go outside of your comfort zone to self-help yourself. You know, if your phobia is really severe and it triggers like panic attacks or uncontrollable anxiety, then you obviously should seek additional support, like therapy or anything like that, so you're not, you know, freaking yourself out all the time, every time. And, you know, sometimes you could look for some support that can come from friends and family. Like, sometimes just holding someone's hand or standing by their side as you face the fear is very helpful for you. Like, if you're, you know, if you're feeling that. So, like, you know, face your fears one step at a time. It is not a race. It is not a, you know, competition. You can make a list of all of the things that you're afraid of, and, you know, just take it one day at a time. You can make a list. You can build a fear ladder and list what's most scary to what's least scary, and, you know, work your way up the ladder. So if you're afraid of, for me, it would be spiders at the bottom, then claustrophobia in the middle, and then at the top, fear of heights. Like, I am very afraid of heights. Like, you should have seen me when I went to see the Grand Canyon and I did the skywalk thing. Like, it was me and three other of my friends, and I could not get off of that thing faster. Like, don't get me wrong, it was so cool to see, because, you know, you're looking at masterpiece, like the earth itself. It's beautiful. But, like, looking directly below you into the canyon, woo! Man, I was just proud of myself that I did it. You know what I mean? Like, I was able to walk the skywalk. I didn't walk fast. Like, I stopped here and there I think I took some pictures or something like that, but it was nerve-wracking. But I did it. Okay? I did it. And I can say I did it. That is the beauty part, is you can say you did it. So, you know, you could practice. You know, if you're afraid of dogs, there's like several different steps that you can use as your sample for a fear ladder. Like, step one, look at some pictures, then maybe look at a video, then look at a dog through a window. I don't know if you'd have to, like, if you don't see regular, if you don't see dogs on a regular, then you'd have to ask somebody to help you with that. And then you could stand across the street from a dog, then stand 10 feet, then 5 feet, then stand beside a dog, then pet the dog, and then pet a large dog on a leash, and then pet a large dog off a leash. And then maybe that can help with your fear of dogs. But also, you can learn to calm down quickly from these fears. You know, simple breathing exercises. Like, I know that anytime I have a nightmare or anything, I'll tell my friend Jude, and we'll just, you know, take deep breaths and just talk about it. Like, it's not real, it's not real, it's not real. And then again, I would watch or look at some videos that would make me feel better. I would do that. Just take a nice slow breath, you know, use all your senses, challenge those negative thoughts. Like I said, if you just tell yourself that it's not real, you're going to be fine. You know, just attack those negative thoughts, and you should be better. You should be better with coping of everything. But yeah, that's my episode for you guys. Once again, it was not to make you fearful or anything. It was just to talk about my fears. And again, if you felt any fears, or if you related to any of the fears that I talked about, then please, you know, reach out, because we can work through this all together. And I don't feel like, you know, any fear or phobia is more than the other. Like, for me, I think that if we can do it together, then we can be better together. You know what I mean? So yeah, subscribe to the podcast on Apple, on Spotify, on Google, on any of the podcast platforms that you use. You can subscribe. I hope you liked it. Leave a voice message. Rate and review the podcast on Apple. Again, I do read them. Hit me up on Twitter and Instagram. You can send me questions and just comments about the episodes. You know, I really enjoy that. And I will catch you guys later. Deuces.
Hey, Katie Time fans. Don't forget to subscribe to wherever you're listening to this on. For weekly updates, there's new episodes every week, and you can send me feedback by following me on Twitter and Instagram at Katie Time Podcast, or you can email me at katietimepodcast@gmail.com. Whichever you prefer to hit me up. I'd really appreciate hearing from you guys. Thanks!